do anything is how you will do everything. And the lessons you learn in jiu-jitsu on the mat teach you to be a better human being off the mat. Welcome to the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset.
All right. Well, welcome back. We are so glad that you're with us for another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset. My name is Pete Dealey, and with me is my professor, Professor Lucas Hupo. Professor?
Hello, Peter. Hope all you guys are doing well. Thank you so much for being hearing us and looking forward for one more day with all of you.
So we've had some really interesting people to talk to, and in our podcast, sometimes we'll have our guests and we'll have conversations where we get their perspective on things. And then on other podcasts, it's just going to be the professor and I, and we're going to talk about a particular idea. And but before we get into this, Professor, I don't know if you obviously we're not in the same room, but
yeah, you can, I have my ear.
You have your so you can't see this because it's on the video. He and I are showing each other our coffee mugs, and our private reserve coffee is no longer going to be just for the two of us.
Yeah, so that's great news, everybody.
So starting next week, we are going to have coffee, the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset coffee, and it is called Submission. So appropriately enough, Submission is the name of it. And we'll have a variety of ways for you to get it. For those of you who know us and are local to us in Chandler, Arizona, you can get it down at our gym. But those of you who are not, it'll be on our website, which happens to be called awellrunlife.com. You can buy it and we will ship it to you there. In kind of a quirky set of things that have happened, Professor, we have a farm in Brazil, a family-owned farm that makes these beans, and then they roast them locally to us here in Chandler. So it is, you know, from the homeland.
Yeah, that's awesome. It couldn't get better, right? Brazilian jiu-jitsu, having some Brazilian coffee. So really looking forward for the next chapter, and I hope all you guys enjoy as much as we do.
We're going to do some testing when I'm rolling with someone and they're only drinking water, but I'm drinking the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset Submission coffee, and just see what happens. We just look for a video in the future. Well, today we wanted the theme to be fear. We wanted to talk about overcoming fear because we use this term a lot between the professor and I. We talk about being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And the nature of discomfort, you know, that has a lot of names. You might call it anxiety. You might call it fear. And although you probably have, you may think you have a lot of fear in the beginning of your jiu-jitsu journey, what is probably more the case is that you worry about different things depending on where you are in your journey. So, Professor, it's been a long time since you were at the beginning of your jiu-jitsu journey, but I wanted to begin with common fears for people at the beginning. Now, the first fear we've talked about in previous episodes was the fear of actually starting. You know, people are afraid to get on the mats and do it. So really what we're talking about there is the fear of the unknown. Because if you haven't been on the mat, you don't know what it's like. And you don't know whether it's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to you or the worst thing, you know, but it's unknown. So I'm more interested to begin the conversation with, in that first year, you see many students that over these years that are at the beginning of their journeys, and I'm guessing that you see themes and things that make them anxious or things that make them concerned. So could you talk about what you perceive to be the most common fears in, say, the first, you know, year or two of training?
Absolutely. I think that's a great theme for we talk about. It's something that everyone feels, right? Some people are going to react, going to be able to manage this in a little better way, some other people not. And talking exactly about coming for the first time or the first year of training, I think I will relate a lot that fear on the still the unknowing.
Right.
Okay, so just a quick observation here about those that have the fear to start jiu-jitsu or anything new. Right, is not knowing exactly what you expect. So I think the best thing that you can do to try to overcome that first fear, yeah, let's put that stage one fear,
right,
is do your research. Ask as many questions as you think is important to make yourself more comfortable. A lot of people, they presume that jiu-jitsu is we're already gonna, it's like MMA, mixed martial arts, right? So on the first day, you're gonna be inside the octagon or the cage or the ring or whatever it is, you're gonna be punching each other. It's not like that at all, right? But I do understand that a lot of people think it is, right? Because you're such an important part of MMA. So again, do your research on whatever school that you're looking at. Give them a call, go watch a class if you feel like, even before you join a group class, talk to the instructor, ask again all the questions that you think is necessary for you feel comfortable on that.
When you think about like, so the research aspect of this, right, is somebody's intellect, someone's mind, like getting information. But underneath that, like, when you talk about, hey, is this going to be like the MMA? So if I, when I hear that as a fear, the fear I hear is this: hey, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be a new person and I'm going to start to roll. And then something's going to happen unexpected. Like I'm going to accidentally elbow somebody, or somebody's going to come in and they're going to have like a real big ego. And then it's going to go from training to then it's a street brawl right there in the middle of the jiu-jitsu. So can you address that fear of like the disciplined nature of training versus, you know, the anxiety that, hey, somebody is going to take me out in the parking lot and, you know, beat me up if I go into train with all these crazy people. I mean, I think when you say the MMA, I think what people worry about is like, I'm going to get assaulted, you know, and that's not a rational fear, but I understand it, right? I mean, it's the MMA has done a great job of bringing jiu-jitsu to our consciousness.
Sure.
However, it's kind of skewed the perception of what exactly, you know, our training is like.
Yeah, again, I think it's a lot about talking, well done communication with whoever you're training on the beginning. And I do understand that it is intimidating to start jiu-jitsu or being in a jiu-jitsu school and being on the mat, and they don't have all the ranks. You're not understanding the dynamic of what's happening there, right? And again, I will keep telling about that unknowing is right. What gonna most part of the time is gonna make that fear comes. And you see that, Peter. How many times you didn't see that on a very first class,
right?
Guy going 110%, getting gas and like just thinking that's the end of the world, like right? That's you say sometimes, guys, this is not the championship world finals. You know, we're training, right? We're just like learning from each other and understand that the biggest consequence that you're gonna have on the mat is your tap, right? Which we know is a part of the process of learning, and then we can talk a little bit more about that. But keep in mind, always like being there, doing a new activity, doing jiu-jitsu, you are in a learning mode, and you need to let yourself to know how to learn. Allow yourself to learn what you have been doing there, about the techniques, about how the dynamic gonna work on a sparring session or in a specific training, open mat, you know, whatever situation that you have. And as much jiu-jitsu is a fight, is a martial art, when you start to do it, you see that have way more deep roots involved than actually the movements, right? And then you start to understand that if I accidentally hit someone with my elbow or get hit, this is just natural and this will happen and that won't change the way how the fight, the sparring will keep going, and that person won't feel assaulted about that, right?
Right. And I think that so the anxiety of the person that doesn't know how this is going to go, I think revolves around the notion, will the tap be respected, right? Like if I tap, is that respected sufficiently that I can truly stop at this at any point in time? I think that would be a fear of people who don't. For me, one of the reasons why I so quickly knew that jiu-jitsu was right for me had a lot to do with the culture that you set in our gym, because mm-hmm. I understood in the way that between you and your students, the culture was one of respect. You know, you demand respect of the students, and the students very happily give it to you. And in turn, I think that makes them respect each other in a way that, like, this is a training session. This is not, you know, that's what this is. This is not a fight. Yes. This is a training session. But that requires trust. And I have been amazed at, like, the way that you have to trust your training partner, but out of that trust becomes a really remarkable bond. You know, mm-hmm. I training with these folks that if they didn't respect me tapping them, you know, I would have quit very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, is that something that would you advise people in terms of understanding the culture of a gym? They, you know, might not be apparent on the first night. Like, is that the type of thing that you have to understand over a few visits? How could someone evaluate the culture of the gym?
I think each case will be different, but thinking that let's take my being a professional away, and mm-hmm. what I would like to do if I'm going for the place at the first time, what I'd like to see. Right. I'd like to see a clear communication from professor and coach. Right. To me, like, in giving me the expectations, like, Lucas, that's what is going to happen the first time in the class. You're going to do this type of exercise. You're going to do this type of technique. You're going to be partnered up with someone more experienced to help you through the movement. We're going to have a little water break. We're going to do a specific training and then right. explain what this specific training is, because the language is completely different, right? We, mm-hmm. we learn not just the movements, but the name of the drills and everything else. So having this clear communication, I start to set the expectations on my head, right? Mm-hmm. And I start to be able to understand better what is going to happen.
Right.
And like, well, that's exactly what he was telling me. By the way, Lucas, on a specific training, you're going to put a little more intensity on what you're doing. Maybe go above, I don't know, 50% or something like that. But talk with your training partner. Look, guys, Lucas, his first class today. Help him, because right. now you're telling everyone mm-hmm. what you're expecting, right, from the students to the new student.
Right.
Anything different than that happened will be something that is not being expected.
Right.
You know, so if I'm going for a place on the first time, I would love to receive this type of information, because I know that, okay, I'm going to be struggling. And look, by the way, if you're not feeling comfortable, just tap. You have total control on what's going to happen.
Right.
And that is the harder part to understand in the beginning, right? Our fear, our anxiety, and our trying to the fight mode to survive.
Right.
We end up like not thinking really well sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget to tap. How many times
yes,
I saw
right, right.
someone in a yeah. choke
yes.
and instead of tap, they try to say something, right? Like, yeah, this won't work really well right now. You know?
Right. There's some video of me around here somewhere doing exactly that.
This is something so simple, right? If you're getting choked, you won't be able to talk. You just stop. You have your free hands.
Right.
But right during the time, anxiety and nervous, everything, you end up forgetting that.
Right.
But after like second, third, fourth time a week or two, you little by little start to get more comfortable, right?
Right. So I think, so first thing you said is sort of address your intellectual, the mind's questions, right? Like, do some research. What's the injury rates? If you're a parent and you're looking for your child, go check out the risks of playing football versus,
yeah.
you know, anything else, right?
Totally.
Like if you're, or gymnastics or, you know, there's lots of comparisons I think you can make in terms mm-hmm. of the relative risk if you're a parent. And then if you were an individual looking to, you know, doing those same researches, those same procedures for yourself, what other things might you consider? You know, running is something that I think people think is safer than it in fact
yeah.
is from an injury perspective. So I think just getting your mind comfortable with, like, if you're going to move your body, there's always an inherent risk. And so what level of risk are you willing to take? But then I think you're starting to address the emotional things and being able to begin the relationship with the people around you. I think what you're saying is if you go into a gym and you don't get that type of communication, to me, that's a red flag. Like if someone just says, well, come on, you know, don't worry. Well, then that's different, right? That's someone who cares less about, you know, they're not trying to reduce your discomfort.
Yes. And going even for different directions. I know some people that they should be lifting weights. Okay. Right. Me and you, we talk a lot about that. We're, we love this type of conversation and the training on inside a sport. But I know a lot of people that should be doing lifting weights, but they never did because they don't know how. And right. maybe they don't have the curiosity on try to do their search. But also when they go to a regular workout gym, they have a zero instruction.
Right.
So not knowing what you're going to do, you gotta hurt yourself like 100% sure.
Right.
And this won't be different in a jiu-jitsu school.
Yeah. Yeah, that right, makes
so
perfect
having
sense.
Having the conversation and someone coaching you through the movements and like, look, I know it's hard in the beginning, but like, and try to always do relationship with like different situations to create a little bit easier for you to understand, right? If you, whatever the professor or coach is saying to you and you're not understanding really well, but you can assimilate to different things and then make it easier to understand. And on caution is you start to change that fear effect, right?
So, I mean, one thing that I'm interested to ask for myself, because, I mean, as a beginner, my experiences in training are really narrow. I don't know what it's like to go to many different places to train. So I have a very narrow perspective on, however, on the few occasions now that I've gone to compete, right, I get a chance to observe other teams, right? So, I mean, there are people gathered around each other because they come from the same school and sometimes interacting with people from those other teams. I'm curious, it feels to me like in our world of jiu-jitsu that there is an ethic of sort of friendliness that puts the training, I'm sure not at every level. I'm sure that there is, you know, plenty of levels where like the competition is, you know, the fight is where the focus is. But my experience is that people gravitate to this partially because they like that. They're interested in a community, which means that they want to bring you in rather than, you know, force you out by showing you how tough they are. I mean, is that is that an accurate perception or what do you think?
No, I believe so. I agree with what you're saying, Peter. I think jiu-jitsu is way more than your ability to be a good grappler. That's at least what I'm looking for is not for my students or even on those that that I look up to. It's not necessarily on how good they are to win a jiu-jitsu match or the technique, but who they are.
Right.
Like about your values. That's something that it changed everything for me. Like how I'm gonna look to you. If you have the type of values that I believe that are good values, of course.
Right.
And compare someone that's just talking whatever he or she wants, not doing the walk the talk and you know being a horrible person outside, it doesn't impress me at all when that person is really good on the mat. That's like I'm not even looking. And I think jiu-jitsu community attract this type of people in a way that like we have the same values and that's what you're looking for and that's why you're struggling together, right? And then it's really nice to see how friendly in a way jiu-jitsu tournaments are. Of course, when you are inside your mat area, you're in a fight, you want to do your business, your opponent going to do their business. But how many friends I made through competition, it's incredible. It's like literally finishing a fight and congratulating the guy for, man, thanks so much. What you did there? Can you help me here? What should I do to avoid this? And I never seen someone not sharing the knowledge with each other, with opponents in a juice tournament. I never seen that happen.
Yeah.
And then you see so many friendship that got made after that. People from different teams don't even train together on a daily basis, but they're like best friends now, and everything started after their first match.
Yeah. So in the beginning, as you're listening to this, if you're a parent, I think you're thinking about where to place your child in a activity, it's useful to go, and I'm not here to make an argument for anything. I think you'll quickly, as you do your research, see jiu-jitsu in terms of its safety compares very nicely as you're thinking about where to put your kid in an event. And then as somebody who's looking to join something themselves, and as someone who's very fresh, is still in that new perspective, you know, the professor, I think, is suggesting that you're not just enrolling in place of instruction where it's a cold experience, that it has to be a warm experience to people, and that you'll likely, your instincts will tell you yes or no. And I think that's one of the things you said, like, hey, if you don't get communicated with on your first day what's about to happen, then that's that should tell you something, that they're less concerned about the community.
If it's not by the professor or coach, at least for the student that you were training with, it's supposed to be someone higher rank that will help you. If like no one is telling you anything,
right,
you probably, your experience won't be the greatest.
Yeah. And we'd like to suggest that that's not representative. So if you go and you go to your local jiu-jitsu gym and you don't have that experience, we would like for you to think about sampling several places, because we think on average you're going to find that the culture of jiu-jitsu is welcoming and is interested in you being felt like you belong, not like you felt. Well, as we go along, Professor, I mean, you're, one fear gets replaced by another fear, and you get, you know, you're concerned about one thing in year one and another thing in year two, and year 18, you're worried about something different. So as you, let's say you're a few years in, I think there are anxieties that present themselves to people that are common. And one anxiety that occurs to me is, like, let's say you go in and you had a bad training session. And bad could mean any number of things. You got knocked around more than you expected. You thought you had a move down. Turns out not so much. You had an injury or something unexpected happened. Something happened that made that day not good. And that sometimes, even for people who've been doing something a long time, affects your feeling about going in the next time. So can you talk about that sort of up and down nature of, you know, if you're going to train over a long period of time, there are going to be days that you walk in super excited, but that's not every single day. Sometimes you're going to have some concern.
Yes, and given sequence on what you're saying about being super excited to go to train, that comes a lot from motivation, right? Like, how motivated are you on that day? And it's not every day that you're going to be super motivated to do what you need to do. Right. And then you need to come back and go on your discipline, right? Mm-hmm. Discipline should be the key on your on everything that you're doing. But talking about that fear on after a bad session, a bad jiu-jitsu session, right? First thing that I believe it should be a good thing to do is try to recognize and understand why do you believe it was a bad training session, right? Maybe because you got hurt. Maybe you got a training partner that was higher ranked than you and just out technique you, manhandle, got smashed, try to recognize what it is, because then you start to understand why, right, the situation happened and how you can overcome this. Talking about injuries, for example, that's most part of the times that's what I would say it's happened the most. Sure. After an injury, you always being a little bit, you know, thinking two times before stepping on the mat again, choosing partners all the time, you know. So come back slowly. That's the best advice that I can give. Listen your body. And again, communication is the key of everything. If you're going, I would suggest, depending of course how aggravated was the injury,
right,
maybe skip a sparring or two for the first week or so, you know. Maybe you don't do the specific training. Try to do maybe a solo drill during that time to keep yourself active. Do the technique. We always can find a way to do it.
Right.
Be honest, I don't see many injuries that will completely prevent you to do everything. You find a way. You adapt the technique. That's I don't know how much you know about it, if you ever heard about that, Peter, but that's how Hrafnar got improved.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Hrafnar was always a guy in jiu-jitsu and a technique, but never so developed. And one of the guys was Rich Barra guy, by the way, back then was Roberto Gordo. I believe he was purple belt back then. And he had some knee injury. He couldn't do close guard anymore or any type of guards. So he could only turn to his side and play half guard.
Wow.
And then until now, everyone that plays half guard pretty well in a really high level says that, like, Roberto Gordo is the father of half guard.
Wow.
So that's how the position started. So, you know what I mean? He was able to find a way to keep training. And that comes from his discipline. But coming back on the injury,
mm-hmm.
you find a way to do a movement, you adapt. And just for you to know, you'll be on the mat, not training, but be on the mat, walking around, seeing the technique, talking, you know, having that bond with your right. teammates again. It makes a big difference on how you're going to overcome that fear on coming back or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Well, so I'm just, so one of, like, I agree with you. You want to get good at anything, like motivation always, you know, is less a factor than discipline, right? Like, so you have to kind of be willing to incrementally move along and just kind of keep going, right? Like you every race is lost if you just quit running. And so one of the things that when, as you're speaking, is coming to my mind is the feeling of progress, right? So a bad training session where you get discouraged because you feel like you should be better than you are, and you're wondering, are you improving at all? Mm-hmm. So there may be somebody on this podcast who experiences this regularly, whose initials are Pete Dealey. So like I think it could be easy to think this bad training session means I haven't progressed,
mm-hmm.
but I'm of the opinion that that might not be true. I mean, what would you say about that?
I think, Peter, it's really hard to not compare ourselves with the others, especially in a jiu-jitsu where you're literally, it's you and your training partner fighting, but also you can see sometimes you can feel the difference. But it's everything, for me, it's everything about on where you started.
Right.
Your own progress is your own journey. Who knows on your training partner, like, if had a different background, is training more often than you do. If it's also, you know, having, everyone has your own life, your own problems to deal with. And jiu-jitsu, most part of the times, you'll be escape from some situations like a therapy. So for me, the way for you're going to measure your progress is all about how you started.
Yeah, and I think what I'm trying to get at, and tell me if this is accurate or not, in that I think it feels like we get better every day incrementally, but mm-hmm. I don't think that's true in this. Like, I think you can have days, you just have to keep going, and some days on Monday you might have trained at a 5, and then Tuesday you had a great day and you trained at 8, and Wednesday you were a 3, it doesn't mean that you were worse than the guy you were on Monday, and that it doesn't seem even to me. Like, it doesn't just seem like a stair step. It seems more like you have your ups and downs. And if you don't stop, like, the general direction is upward, but like, every day is not better than the day before, I guess, is sort of what I'm thinking. And if you think that, then I think you can get frustrated because you might think, hey, I thought I could do this really well, and this mm-hmm. is a lower, this guy's only been here for 2 classes, and this was like my main deal, is like what I thought I did well, and now mm-hmm. I got, you know, I couldn't even do it in this circumstance. And so I think it could be discouraging if you think that's how it works, but I'm mm-hmm. of the mind that, like, you just got to keep going, and that, you know, year over year, it's going to be more.
You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, and sometimes you're going to have good months, and then you're going to have bad months. Mm-hmm. And I can tell, I don't know how many times, but I still pass through all this, and I know this will keep happening.
Right.
No matter what, no matter if I'm training, too much, I'm doing my best. You're probably supposed to be on the best as you can ever be on that time.
Right.
maybe you were tired that day, you know, maybe you were like, you were so well physically, but you're not ready mentally, and then you won't be able to perform. And then all those dealing with emotion and ups and downs that jiu-jitsu gives you every single day on the mats make you grow so much,
right?
And that's the true purpose of martial arts, is the growth. It's not the medals. It's not a winning. It's the growth. It's the overcome your fears, overcome the challenge. That's what I'm going to teach you every single day, right? I see that happening so much. People sometimes come to talk with me, you know, asking, just like sharing moments, right? And I'm like a little bit dismotivated because, you know, that person that I used to smash, now I can see he's in a different level right now. And trying to explain this for someone that is living on that moment is hard. I mean, it's easier to explain, but it's hard for them to assimilate until they pass through that phase. And they're like, well, now it makes sense, right? We have to see
what's
happening right now.
Exactly. I think that actually that's the right words for me, in that you can see your own progress very clearly, I think. And when you have a bad training day, because you got hurt, because you got manhandled or smashed, or you just thought you were going to be better than, and I believe that that's primarily an internal experience, like you experience that, and that your training partner isn't worried about that. Like I worry sometimes for myself. I want to be a good training partner to the people around me, and so I feel like, oh, if I'm not strong enough, or I'm not whatever, you know, that I don't want to waste anybody's time. So I get anxious about, like, hey, I come in here, I want to make sure I'm doing a good, you know, I'm playing my part well here. But I had a terrific example of generosity with, like, Big Chris the other day, because we were working from, you know, deep half guard, and Chris is a big, strong guy. And he was really patient with me, and he let me do it awfully and inefficiently, and like many times. So it was a day that I could perceive myself as like not progressing, and not, I could have perceived it as a bad training day, but the truth was is that it was a great training day, because between me and my training partner, I received his patience, his instruction, his carefulness, and allowed me to be exactly where I was.
And look, Peter, I will say this again, I believe it's everything, how to see your progress is try to remember how you started, right? And not necessarily the day that it started, but again, let's pick an example here from like a 15 years old kid, okay? Two 15 years old kid. One of them is already plays football, plays soccer. The dad's he does jiu-jitsu as well. The kid is also in tracking. So probably that kid has a lot of some good physical skills, right? Plus the mindset, you know, being molded by everything that I did in the past. And the other kid, on the other hand, is that more introverted kid, super shy, you know, like zero confidence, never done any sports, like 100% of the day on the computer and everything. Those kids starting together, but they, even though they start on the same day, the first kid in the example, they start like way above.
Right?
Because for everything else that they have.
Sure.
So even though that over time, that introverted kid still, maybe after competing and overcome the fears and everything, still not being able to be the most athletic kid.
Right.
But the learn, like the progress and the growth was so much higher for that second kid.
Right.
And that's how you measure your progress. It's not necessarily about winning a specific match or a medal or a tournament or anything.
Sure.
But how we started, right?
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about, like, hey, in the beginning, you're going to be concerned about, you know, safety, you know, how to fit into the culture. Does the culture protect me? What's it going to be like? And then as you go along, you know, as you go and you day in and day out, and or week in and week out, you train, you'll have other things that trouble you. And some training sessions will go bad, and you can't let the bad training sessions derail you from, you know, just the, you know, the slow march of progress. But, you know, then as you keep going, and let's say you achieve higher belts, I don't think anxiety completely leaves you, right? I mean, now we're in the realm of you and your colleagues out there. So before we get to maybe the advanced practitioners' anxieties, One of the things that I think is useful as a beginner for myself, and I believe that it would be useful for other beginners, is to take a chance at competing. So it's a curious thing for me to watch, like how worked up myself and the people around me can get, particularly on their first or second competition. You know, you would think we were competing for, you know, whatever, a gold medal and Nike sponsorships. I mean, so can you talk a little bit about
just some mindset sponsorships? And,
exactly. You know, yeah, that somebody may get, you know, one of our submission bags of coffee, for crying out loud. So you've seen that probably many, many times, that somebody, they want to compete, but they're worried about competing. Can you talk a little bit about like what are some things that they could think about that could ease them into the idea that competition will be good and fun?
I'll say, like, first of all, you're not the only one. Everyone has a fear. It's everyone will have the fear, anxiety, or whatever the name you want to call. Okay, it's like literally everyone will feel like that before I compete. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it.
Right.
And actually, in my opinion, that's exactly the reason why you should do it.
Yes.
Okay, if you want to, again, coming back to the true purpose of martial art on growth, that's the only way you're going to grow.
Right.
Is not just put yourself in an uncomfortable position, but not run from the challenge, right? Run into it, the challenge, which is really easy to say, but extremely hard to do it.
Right.
And I like to talk a lot about this topic because I can relate myself a lot on that. Okay. I remember on my very first jiu-jitsu tournament, I competed before in different sports, but again, I was 13 years old. Okay. So you don't think much on what you were doing, right? You're just going.
Right.
But that was the first time that I was competing by myself, by an individual sport, right? I was like playing soccer, playing different things. So you're kind of like on the team there.
Right.
The responsibility is not 100% on you, right? I was terrified.
Right.
I couldn't sleep like at all. I was a white belt, maybe 3 months training. Everyone from my gym, from Gracie Barra, there in Brazil, was going to a tournament in São Paulo called the High and Grace Cup. And all those guys that I want to impress was going. So I was like, yes, like, and truly, that was my feeling. Like, I want to go. Yes, I really want to do that.
Right.
But then on the day of the tournament, I was trying to find, like, almost hoping to, like, I hope I get sick. Like, I hope I don't know, like, I'm going to fall by myself here. I'm going to get hurt. I don't need to do it.
Yeah.
You try to create, you know, you try to sabotage yourself. So
Mom,
much.
Do I have a fever? Quick, check me just in case.
Check again, like every 10 minutes. And it was crazy. And I have a really short memory about that fight because, again, I was so nervous. I couldn't think. And, of course, I ended up losing my match. I ended up losing actually by armbar. So that's what I remember.
Sure.
I remember I'm putting guard and get super kind of like blank out.
Right.
Definitely got my guard pass. I don't remember how, but I got an armbar. Okay. And I was after like frustrated, of course, from the defeat. Somehow I was expecting to win that match.
Sure.
but at the same time, I was proud of myself.
Right.
And that was the best feeling. Not because I fought well, because I didn't.
Right.
But because I was, even being so afraid and so nervous, I was still able to step on the mat, like push, literally like push myself in and do it. And that was what kept me driving later on keep coping all the times. Like, you know what? It wasn't that bad, you know? And then second time, it got a little bit better. Third time, got a little bit better. And now over those all many years training jiu-jitsu, I still get excited, but in a good way, right? Because you just learn how to manage a little bit better what's going to happen.
Right.
And so I believe you should kind of like almost force yourself on the beginning just for have the feeling. That overcome feeling is so grateful. It's amazing. Everyone should feel that.
And I think it changes your relationship to your training. And so as somebody who's, I'm effectively, you know, the 13-year-old Professor Huba, right? Like I'm at the very beginning of my competition life and all of that. And my opinion is that when you commit to the notion that you are going to compete, it changes your training, because I agree, when you are on a team sport, you have both the pleasure of being a part of the group, but you also have a bit of safety that, like, you know, this is, we live and die together as a team. However, on the mat, it's just you. And that is a disconcerting experience, just because when it's all said and done, you're only going to say that I did this or I did that. But rather, the result in my mind is the strengthening of your courage muscle. Yes. You know, like, if you can roll with people in practice, the competition as a white belt is not so different, that you're like entering into a place where you're not going to be materially less safe than you are practicing. So it's really just an experience that tests your ability to control yourself, you know, more than anything else. And when it comes to anxieties, I mean, I think about as an older person, like, not wanting to embarrass my team. Like, I have a concern about, like, mm-hmm. I think my worries about my own performances, like, yeah, I want to do my best, but I'm at a point in my life where, like, I'm pretty capable, but I am part of a group, you know, and I want to represent my group well. And I don't, you know, I want to reflect well on what I've been taught and all of the effort that my folks have put into me to teach me to be better than I am. So if you're a beginner, I think, if you decide to give it a try, what you will find is a whole complex set of emotions that you may not expect.
Yes.
And then you will go and step on that mat, and it will last a few minutes, and maybe you'll have two matches or whatever, but it's a pretty brief period of time in your life. And then you're going to think about it an awful lot relative to the amount of time you're on the mat leading up to it, and then getting off the mat. You're going to spend all this energy thinking about it. And I think you'll find that, you know, it will give you a lot of pleasure if you approach it from the standpoint, because the victory in my mind is making it to the mat. You know?
Yes. I think, like, what we first started talking was competing for the first time, right? And try to deal with all that.
Right.
But I believe, like, everyone should now or then do a competition, a jiu-jitsu competition, like we're talking about jiu-jitsu. Competition in general, I believe, is health, and is hard to, we need to learn how to deal in a way that is going to keep being helpful for you. Right. But jiu-jitsu specifically, again, we're fighting there. And we sometimes, on our fear, on our anxiety, you might put this as an extremely dangerous situation, which is not.
Right.
It's not. Yes, you have a chance that get hurt. You always do. When you wake up, and if you stand up fast on your bed, you might gonna get hurt as well.
Right.
You know? But it is a really good control and safe environment at the same time.
Yes.
Density is high, yes, but at the same time, you are training for that, you know. So now or then is good, you know, to put yourself on that spot. And also about you'll be able to truly know yourself.
Right.
You can only know yourself, you know, when you put yourself on a spot in a stress situations.
Right.
You think you were tough, right? Like, you say a lot of things for everyone, and then when you're put in a spot, you might see that as not the way that how you think. And in the opposite hand as well.
Sure.
If you were super unconfident and anything, and then you see a kid going for a tournament has a heart of a lion, you know,
right.
Never
yes.
stopped to fight. How many times you see that happen, right? So mm-hmm. humble and level ourselves. If you're overconfident, maybe as a kid, and then maybe you're going to be a bully because you're overconfident. You think you're going to win every time. You start jiu-jitsu, you're going to deal with losses and loses all the time. So we're going to, you know, bring you down a little bit more. And if you don't have that confidence, you're going to see that first, you are not the only one. You can relate to people around you, and you're going to have your victories, which you're going to bring your confidence up, right? So that's the idea on keep leveling up everything. And also, when you were competing, when you put yourself on a spot, you learn yourself more and everything else, but sooner or later, you're going to deal with losing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the true value of that. Because sooner you can learn how to deal with after a lose, a loss, what are you going to do? How are you going to react? How can you overcome this?
Right.
It helps you to deal with the same problem when that really matters.
Right.
Because losing a jiu-jitsu match is not a big deal.
Right.
It's not. Sometimes we think it is, but it's not. But right. When maybe later on your life, when you need to deal with something, you need to handle stress, you can relate it with why you passed before.
Yes. Yeah. So we talk sometimes about the blue belt curse, right? That, you know, you might persist to get that first recognition that says, you know, you're less of a beginner now, right? I mean, we're still beginners at blue belt, but you made it to the next kind of level of that part of the journey. But then the journey from the blue belt to the purple belt is a longer journey, it seems often. And people fall out of the process because they're, you know, for whatever reason. I'm of the mind that, like, competition, if you are somebody who is now a year or two into it, is a terrific way to keep your training fresh from in terms of what comes of it, because it's like having a vacation in a certain sense, right? You have a vacation, you're thinking about that vacation, it's so exciting to plan, and and the vacation itself comes and goes so fast, but then you mm-hmm. have your pictures and you yes. live that vacation. I think for me, I seek to compete as much as I can, not out of any desire. I mean, I want to win. Let me not be misrepresent that, but I don't have a ton of expectation yeah. about winning. But I also feel a part of a larger community. I mean, at this point in my jiu-jitsu journey, it's the place where I get to observe other people. And I had a great experience at the last competition where I was looking for anyone remotely my age, and I found one guy, and he was 14 years older than me. So he's 66 and he's a blue belt. So I said, "Hey, it's so terrific to see you. Obviously you started, you know, later than most. And what's it been like?" And he had competed. He must've been a wealthy man. Like, he competed in Europe and competed outside the United States. He says he takes a private lesson every day. But it was a wonderful interaction. It was a great yes. example. Like, hey, here's a guy who is 66. He rolls every day. He's thinking about a competition. You know, I'd like to be that person, 76 and 86, you know, I'll have maybe my third stripe on my blue belt by those times. And, you know, I mean, it was nice to feel connected to the community, and I wouldn't have met this person otherwise.
It is. And it's nice. Well, I did this a couple of times. I use jiu-jitsu tournament as excuse to travel. Like, well, we have a tournament in New York. Nice. I've never been in New York, so let's go. You know, you kind of like force yourself, and you have a great experience anyway, like being competing, overcome your challenges, your fears, but at the same time, going to a new place, see a new culture, have different food, and meet different people. And while you were talking, also, Peter, I'd like to compliment here about losing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think defeat is, I heard that once, and it kind of stick to my head. Defeat is like getting sick. You can't avoid it.
Right.
What you can do is strengthen your immune system, right? But you're gonna get defeat. It's just like a matter of time to learn from that process,
right?
And do your best. After the defeat is when you're gonna grow the most,
right?
Winning all the time for more reward that you feel, having medals and winning and sure. all that other part, but have just a little growth on the winning. Mm-hmm. Right, you don't analyze what the mistakes that you commit, because at the end you won. But when you lose, it gives you a self-reflection.
Yes, right.
On trying to understand why you lose and what can you make it better. Because right. when you win again, that doesn't mean you didn't commit a lot of mistakes. It probably because your opponent committed even more mistakes than you.
Right.
So you don't think about it. What can you do better? Right, so I'm not saying that you should try to lose.
Of course not, right?
But
right.
You take the best from the losses, and again, this is gonna give you that overcome and the growth that again is the true purpose of the martial arts.
Right. Yeah. So as you think about, you've had many, many years of competition. You've competed at all these different levels. Now you've competed against athletes that, you know, at this point in your jiu-jitsu journey, you could come up to, against people whose entire life is kind of set up just to, you know, enhance their abilities as an athlete. Whereas, although you were on the same level, your life requires the discipline of running a business. You have, you know, you have many other responsibilities that don't allow you to spend all your time as a competitor. So when you think about how you approach the butterflies and the anxieties and whatever things might be on your mind headed into the competition, now, how do you think it's the most different than when you were 13, right? I mean, you're 13, you didn't know what was to be expected. And, you know, you braved something totally new. You got as comfortable as you could in an uncomfortable situation. And now you know what to expect. These competitions are not going to be a surprise in that you're going to walk in and something totally is going to, you know, the person may, but the circumstance is familiar. So what's the biggest change from that 13-year-old to the experienced black belt?
I think the biggest part of whoever athletes competing for so long and dedicating their life to a sport is that sport becomes like a really part of who you are.
Yes.
Right. And in some ways become like your identity. Everyone knows like, Peter, you do jujitsu. Oh, Peter's been jujitsu forever. So, you know, when you talk about jujitsu, when you talk about Peter, it's the same thing.
Right.
And that put, that it can put a lot of pressure on you.
Yes, yes.
You know, right. And talking about us, but if you talk about a kid, same thing when you want to have a kid training for so long. So that's required a commitment, not just for a kid, but from the parents.
Sure.
It's a time investment, it's a money investment.
Yeah.
And the first thing when the vacation or summertime comes, the grandparents are going to ask, oh, how jiu-jitsu is going? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's part on who you are. And that pressure on like disappointed people around you, I think that's the hardest part for on this type of situation that you brought up, you know. And it's one more situation that you need to overcome. You know, try to play that game with yourself. You need to keep playing mind games with yourself. That's inevitable.
Yeah, as you're talking, it reminds me of what in our previous conversation with Marty Herrick, because you were saying, like, when you got the black belt, it was not just about a recognition of achievement, but it was you were accepting a role, you know, that you're now a black belt, and that means something in terms of how people see you, and you were accepting the responsibilities, not just the rights to put the black belt on, but the responsibilities of wearing the black belt in terms of how. However, I mean, in the context of competition, now I could see how it becomes like, oh, now all these people have these expectations because I represent, you know, that makes sense to me. So it sounds to me like in the beginning, you're going to worry about a whole bunch of certain things. And then at the end, you're going to worry about a whole bunch of other things.
Exactly,
and you never, which.
But that's a journey, right?
Right.
That's just to be able to do that, it makes me so happy.
Yes.
And every tournament that I sign up, looks like after you register, everything started, you know, like butterfly. It doesn't matter. You were already training. You were ready,
right.
But man, now I need to go. You know, like it becomes a motivation.
Right.
And I believe now I'm in a point where I've been learning a lot from my last defeats and being happy for that. You know, being grateful for being able to grow through that. Of course, again, if I could choose to win every match, yes, that's what I want.
Sure.
I'm not trying to lose. Believe me, I'm not trying to lose.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm trying my best for sure to learn from every single loss, every small mistake. And my goal is not the championship, right? The tournament is part of my training. I want
right.
to keep be able to keep training and keeping the living the life on this way and overcoming, you know, every fear. And I remember when I was maybe, I think, 18 years old, I was competing kind of often and at the same time starting college. And you have like new things in college, right? Same thing, everything is new.
Sure.
So it's a different type of fear. But on my mind, that was helped me on like, And I was literally fighting with people that I don't know, like last week, and like, what could be worse right now? Gonna get a fight? Well, guess what? I just fought. You know, like if you go to a test, if I'm going to do a presentation on a class, nothing more was make me anxious or nervous.
Right.
Because nothing is more raw than a fight. And
yes,
you were signing up for this.
Yeah.
And after you'll be able to overcome that and pass through that, you're like, you feel so good about that, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you want to get big, you know, muscles. Well, you put a barbell on your back and you squat like it. And that's so you're developing what you're exercising. And what I think is the theme between the beginner, you know, the intermediate and the advanced is that you were developing your muscles in different ways as you go along, and that jiu-jitsu is giving you this vehicle in which, you know, to become calmer. Like it's easy to be calm if nothing rattles you, but if you put yourself in the face of something that rattles you and you force yourself to be calm, well, then you'll be, you're more peaceful because you've overcome being rattled there. If you're hesitant and afraid to do something and then you face it and you do it, you're stronger in the face of the next thing. You had you know, your tests or your street fight or whatever, and then you will go and then you're calmer for having come through those battles, right?
So let me ask you this, Peter, how did you deal with that, and not just about jiu-jitsu, but dealing with mistakes that cost maybe a new agreement on your job, you know, or a job position? How much did you learn from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, life is
afraid on having a conversation, you know, and stepping over things like that.
Yeah. Oh boy, this podcast just got like going to be a few hours longer there because I have a lot on the subject. Like for my life, I had some things early on that I would tie to people dying. People got sick and died unexpectedly. Went in with a stomach ache. 6 weeks later, they were dead. People you loved with all your heart, right? So had some of a taste of, hey, do you want to talk about what does it mean to be serious? And you go into the doctor and he's like, oh, it's not a stomach ache. It's pancreatic cancer. And this person's going to pass immediately. Or, you know, we had, not to go into it with any precision, but like a lot of financial issues, right? So things that were serious, not because they were theoretically serious, like, oh, this is, but they were serious. You had needs. And then did your resources match up with those needs? Well, not in every case. And so in my life, when I think about, life has decided to give me things to make sure that I understand what's important and what's not. Because I have, you know, both had things happen to me that had nothing to do with my decisions that had terrible consequences. And then I have made decisions on my own that carried with them long-term difficult consequences to live with. So I come to this point in my life recognizing the difference between the butterflies of a jiu-jitsu tournament and what's it mean to have someone tell you that they're very sick and that their life is going to get cut short by this illness. However, I also know that when I decided to compete, I thought about it a ton and I was nervous. And I was nervous to get on the mats. I didn't want to embarrass myself, didn't want to get hurt, wanted to look over to my teammates and then have them cheer me, not start looking up like, we don't know that guy. I wanted to represent my team well. I wanted to do my best. And I have at this juncture in my life a real clear understanding that you can put yourself in what I consider to be false danger, and that false danger experience strengthens you for when times do in fact get tough, because there are times in your life when it's not like, oh, this is a difficult situation because it's uncomfortable and you can work your way out of it. Some things are just hard. I think about honesty. When my relationship to my father has a lot of wonderful complexities to it. But one of the things that I took from my dad was one of the worst times I was ever in trouble as a child was because I lied, and he scared me to death in this period. However, an outcropping of it was to a real commitment to honesty. And so in fearful, anxious situations, being able to separate out, like, what's the truth of the situation? Mm-hmm. And then what are stories you're telling to yourselves that are just stories, and you're, you know, it's either your ego wants to inflate the importance of this thing, or, you know, what, try to stay connected to what is really going on here. And then to enjoy being a human being, right? So for me, when we talk about strengthening this muscle of being courageous, it's super important because we need a society of courageous people. And you want to be surrounded by people who have courage, because when your life takes an unexpected bad turn, you want to have somebody who's got some courage next to you that you can count on them as a friend, as a spouse, as a whatever. And you want to be that person too, you know? So life will give you opportunities to develop that in its most serious ways. But then you can practice in things that you can cultivate.
Yeah, man, that, I couldn't agree the most. Being awesome, what you're saying here, exactly that. It's practicing your growth for when things really matters, you're ready.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny you talk about fighting. We're going to have to do an episode where we recount fights not on the mat. The street fight episode. Someday we'll do that. But as much as, you know, I've been in circumstances where I've been in violence, like there's no tapping. This is a fight and that's that. You know, that I'm not a violent person. I'm not interested in those environments, but I've had my brushes with that type of thing. There are times in which circumstances don't allow you to run away from certain things. And you don't really know what your metal is until you're faced with the challenge. Mm-hmm. However, you can get glimpses into it. You know, like, I was afraid to get on the mats with whoever, but I did it and I survived it. So it, you know, I'm just a tiny step closer to being as courageous as I want to be, as, you know, strong as I want to be, and all of that. So you only get that, you talk about learning from losses, you only develop yourself in the context of things not work going the way you want. Because when they go the way you want them to go, it just reinforces the notion that you already know what you have to know.
Exactly. That's dangerous.
Which is absolutely dangerous and limiting. You never really, if you know, you accept where you are right now, then this is what you're going to live with for the rest of your life. And I'm somebody that believes it, always looking for the edges, right? Looking for... Yeah. How can
the difference when you, again, when you're practicing those defeats and you start to know how to deal better with that, and it's different when you, again, when the defeats really matters, if you're going to break,
right,
or if you're going to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in my life, I've had times when, you know, I've seen, I've experienced, and I've observed what's it like to have the presence of somebody who's truly courageous, who's truly strong in the face of circumstances that really demand that you be strong. And the consequences of you not being strong, that is like the disintegration of, you know, family units or friendships, or, you know, or the, you know, the transition from life to death. You know, when you stand, somebody's sick and they're going to pass, that's not comfortable, you know, and you either are with that person and you help them to the other side. And if you're not capable of it, then, you know, how sad, right? To both abandon somebody to that transition to be on their own. And then also to lose the beautiful experience of, like, hey, everything changes, including one day you're alive and then one day you're not, you know, you have to have the capacity, I think, to be, as we say over and over, to be comfortable in these uncomfortable situations, because that's where the most interesting experiences are. You know, if it's routine and you've done it and you know it's safe and it's always, you've done it 1,000 times, well, that's kind of boring. All right, so as we come to the conclusion, we talked about fear in this episode, and when you start, look, if you haven't had your first jiu-jitsu lesson, your fear is primarily of the unknown. Like, you don't know what it's like. So we want you to try it, and to try it, the professor recommends go in and talk, you know, do your research about what's on your mind. What do you want to know about? What does your brain need to hear? And then go talk to the people running the gym, see how they treat you. And one indicator could be, do they tell you what to expect? Do they understand that, hey, this is uncomfortable, and explain to you? But you know, once you get bit by the jiu-jitsu bug, which we think will happen to many of you, and you over a period of time, some days are going to go good and some days aren't. And so you can't let the fear of thinking this bad training session is going to stop my training. You got to, you know, face that and continue. And that growth, my estimate, happens over time, you know, not like it doesn't go 1, 2, 3, 4, it goes 1, -2, 1, 3, 5, -5. It's not a straight line. Be comfortable with it. And then as you get to be expert, you just have other things to worry about. You become a black belt. Well, congratulations. But now the whole community looks to you as their champion, and everything you do is you carry weight and of that responsibility. That's different than when you're the white belt walking in and you're at the beginning and you get to learn everything right out of the gate. So I think there's a lot in what we've been talking about today, Professor. It talks about jiu-jitsu and talks about life too.
Absolutely. Great theme. I think you have so much to say and talk and share experience about everything that we have been talking today. Hope this can help and encourage more people to challenge yourself. That's the mean of everything.
Right.
Get out of your comfortable zone and push yourself. It's not just wake up one day and say, I'm going to get out of my comfortable zone, and you're going to get comfortable on the very next day. No, you're going to keep uncomfortable,
right?
And you're going to teach yourself how to deal with that, how to get comfortable later on. But most important, everything, know yourself better through situations of stress in a controlled environment.
Right.
For when things really matters, you already know how to handle yourself and deal with everything. And growth. Defeats, yeah, is something that inevitable. It's part of the game. Sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose.
Right.
And again, when you lose, you're going to have as much growth as you can assimilate, much more than only the wins, because you won't be, again, like as you're saying, when you win, we don't pay attention to the facts, on your mistakes. And defeats give us self-reflection and try to improve ourselves. So I'm not saying that you try to lose,
right?
But when that happens, you will, and just try to take the best off and grow as much as you can through that.
Without a doubt. You know, we hear this expression a lot, right? Like, if you're the smartest person in the room, you probably need to find a different room. You know, if you never lose a competition, you're probably in the wrong competitions. You know what I mean?
Right,
the whole point here is to, you got to find those edges. So Professor, some people, they want to see you in between, you know, when they want more of you. So where can they locate you, say, on Instagram, which seems to be everyone's favorite?
Yeah. So Instagram will be, you can find as Lucas Rubo or Lucas Rubo. Is R on Portuguese, sounds like H, mm-hmm. Or LCS _ Rubo. And Facebook, same thing, Lucas Rubo. And feel free to text me, private message me anytime, and whatever we can do for each other, it'll be a pleasure.
Terrific. Well, we will be putting, we record both the audio and the video of this. So I like to take little clips of our video, and I put that out on our Instagram for people to kind of get a chance to see us and in these conversations. And so you can follow those at A Well Run Life. So it's A, then WELLRUN Life. So
congratulations, like Peter.
Yeah. So that's where you'll find some of those things. The coffee is going to go on sale here shortly. So, you know, for those of you who are interested in getting the submission coffee, we'll have that available on the website. And for those of you who are local to us, we'll have that available as well. So, Professor, thank you again for a great episode. And we'll be back with everybody next week.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, everyone. Looking forward for next week. Hope you guys have a good one.